Atheist Nomads, episode 154, news for July 7, 2015.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads.
Hooray!
I am Dustin. Joining me, as always, is Wesley.
God forbid, no more wireless disconnects.
Yeah.
Hello.
That would be quite nice. And joining us today is my lovely wife, Lauren.
And Rocco Taco on my lap. And Bucky at my feet.
All right.
We were eating Choco Tacos earlier.
Oh, last nice. Week.
Shh, he doesn't like to split the fame with them.
Okay, so we are recording this live on YouTube. We're going to keep doing this for a little while and see how that goes. And for news, Sci-Fi Nomads is now officially launched.
Yeah.
And you won't hear about it again on this channel.
Well, you will later this episode, but you can find it... That's foreshadowing for some feedback that we're going to have to cover. You can find it on scifinomads.com. That's all one word, no punctuation. It's in iTunes. It should be in the Google Play Music Store soon, and we'll get it into other places shortly. So, moving along to dusting off the degree, I grew up hearing the Adventist Church push for religious liberty. It was all about making sure people were free of religious discrimination and free to practice their religion. And there's a department of the Adventist Church, the Religious Liberties and Public Affairs Department, that actually has rather sizable legal teams all across the country to deal with discrimination cases. But the vast majority of their cases deal with people getting accommodations from jobs so they don't have to work on Saturday, which the Adventists keep as the Sabbath. There was one famous case they did somewhere back east in the 90s where they fought for a group's right to sacrifice live chickens.
Mm. Well, you know, for the gods.
So anyway, there was always a huge exception to the cases they would take, and that's healthcare and emergency services jobs. The justification was that in the Old Testament, people still had to serve in the temple, even as guards, and even on the Sabbath. And also that Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. And there was also the expectation that if it's a 7-day-a-week operation and you're trying to get Saturdays off, that you gladly, willingly, and volunteer every chance you can to work Sunday if you're needed. So it wasn't meant to get you special privilege. It was just to try to get people out of performing duties that weren't life and death on one day of the week. That I would consider to be reasonable religious liberty, trying to push for freedom to practice your religion and your beliefs without harming anybody else, and doing it in a way where you make sure that you don't harm anyone else. Now, if the current pushes for religious liberty were along those lines, then realistically, none of us would have any issues with it.
We wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. Instead, what we now have is a hypersensitivity to what needs accommodation. And to be fair, I don't know if that's spreading to Adventists. So the kind things I said about how they handle it may not be accurate anymore. I haven't really, I haven't been active in the Adventist Church in 9 years.
Let us know if you know.
Yeah. But, you know, county clerks have had to issue marriage licenses to people that they have had sincerely held religious beliefs that these people shouldn't be able to get married for as long as there have been marriage licenses. The difference is now you can't see that someone has been married before, that they've been living in sin, or that a couple is unequally yoked, but it's usually pretty easy to see if the two people before you are of the same gender.
Typically.
There are exceptions, but typically it's pretty easy to tell. We have companies like Hobby Lobby complaining about insurance that they provide in part to their employees covering certain drugs that a few people believe cause abortions. but that didn't bother them before Obamacare. We have pharmacists who refuse to fill certain prescriptions because of their deeply held religious beliefs, which makes me wonder, why is this a problem now when it wasn't before? And if they have been selectively filling prescriptions all along, then how do they still have licenses? I'm sure the same evangelicals who think employers should be able to choose which meds their employees have access to wouldn't give a Scientologist business owner the same privileges over antidepressants. I'm sure the same Catholics who think a hospital should be able to prohibit ending a miscarriage while there's still a fetal heartbeat wouldn't be okay with a hypothetical hospital run by Jehovah's Witnesses not allowing blood transfusions.
Not a very successful hospital.
Really wouldn't be. A Christian Science hospital would also not work out. But in either case, it's a fair comparison, because in either case, it would be a hospital refusing to provide a necessary life-saving treatment. And if you're going to refuse that, well, that's fucked up. I'm also sure that most people who support county clerks who refuse to issue marriage licenses to a gay couple would not support a clerk refusing to issue a license to a couple where one is a divorced Catholic and the other is a Jew. Religious liberty used to have a meaning where it was having the freedom to practice one's own religion. Now it means having the privilege to force it over those who someone has power over. That's not religious liberty, it's religious tyranny.
Ooh, very nice.
And all those fuckers that are doing that need to knock it the fuck off. All right, so Wesley, what happened on this day in history?
This day in history, July 7th, 1928, sliced bread is sold for the first time.
Yay!
On the inventor's 40th birthday, no less. Yeah, so that was by the Chicoeth Baking Company of Chicoeth, Missouri. Fucking nailed that. Yeah, so let's go back a bit. Otto Frederick Rowetter, the first had a brief career as a jeweler, and rather successfully became the owner of three different jewelry stores in St. Joseph. He used his work with watches and jewelry to invent new machines. Convinced that he could develop a bread slicing machine, he sold his jewelry stores to fund the development effort and manufacture the machines. In 1917, a fire broke out and destroyed the factory where he was manufacturing his machine.
Wah, wah.
Destroyed the prototype and the blueprints.
Ooh.
That's the womp womp. With the need to get funding again, Rowetter was delayed for several years in bringing the bread slicer to market. And it wasn't ready until 1928 that Rowetter had a fully working machine ready. First company to use the machine was, of course, the Chillicothe Baking Company in Chillicothe, Missouri, which I previously mentioned. And they produced their first slices on July 7th, 1928. Their product was called Clean Made Sliced Bread, and it was damn successful. The bread was advertised as the greatest forward step in the baking industry since the bread was wrapped. Yeah. In 1930, Continental Baking Company introduced Wonder Bread as a sliced bread. It was followed by other major companies when they saw how successful the bread was received. So by 1932, the availability of standardized sliced had boosted sales of automatic pop-up toasters, an invention of 1926 by Charles Streit.
Oh man, I did not think about that. You need the sliced bread before you can do the pop-up toaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tons of shit.
Yeah. Uniformed sliced bread.
Yeah, the first slice was in 1928, off of the automatic, the automatic chopping block per se. And just 5 years later, sliced bread was more popular than unsliced bread loaves. So, as commercially sliced bread resulted in uniform and somewhat thinner slices, people ate more bread at a time and more frequently because of the ease of eating another piece of bread.
Right.
This increased consumption of bread, in turn increased consumption of spreads such as jam, jellies, all that.
Butter.
Yeah, probably so. Sure. Oddly enough, here's a little interesting tidbit. From January to March of 1943, U.S. officials imposed a ban on sliced bread as a wartime conservation measure. Hmm. According to the New York Times, officials explained that, quote, the ready sliced loaf was a heavier must have a heavier wrapping than an unsliced one if it is not to dry out. So, yeah, it was also intended to counteract a rise in the price of bread caused by the Office of Price Administration's authorization of a 10% increase in flour prices.
Ooh.
So weird.
Hmm. That
yeah,
puts the history whole, of bread.
And puts the whole, you know, the story on the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, that was actually, I believe, some guy in Kansas, a newspaper author in Kansas, wrote something like that, and it just kept on mutating and changing over time.
Well, and it would have made sense considering the fact that right after this invention was the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But it also launched
a ton of products, like we were talking about, the toaster and other weird shit.
And jellies and jams. And but, other delights.
But the best thing since sliced bread would be the end of Prohibition.
Fair enough. So, also, this day in history, 1947, the Roswell incident and the supposed crash of an alien spaceship near Roswell in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So that's this fucking day. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So, cool.
And so it begins.
Oh, goodness. So the Roswell UFO incident refers to an event when a United States Air Force surveillance balloon crashed at a ranch near Roswell, New Mexico, prompting claims for a short time and then promptly forgotten until the 1970s when conspiracy theorists just plain lost their shit.
As they do. So,
oh, yeah. Good. Everybody remembered, then everybody forgot, then everybody remembered. Kind of sounds like Jesus. So anyways, in the 1900s, the United States military published reports disclosing the true nature of the crashed Project Mogul balloon, which is what this actually was. Nevertheless, the Roswell incident continues to be of interest in popular media and conspiracy theories surrounding the event. Roswell has been called the world's most famous, most exhaustively investigated, and most thoroughly debunked UFO claim. And I mentioned Project Mogul, which I'll tell you a bit about. It was a top secret project by the United States Air Force involving microphones flown into high altitude and carried on balloons, whose primary purpose was long distance detection of sound waves generated by Soviet atomic blasts. The project was carried out from 1947 until 49. Project was moderately successful, but very expensive, and was superseded by a network of seismic detectors and air sampling for fallout, which were cheaper, more reliable, and easier to deploy and operate.
Well, that's cool, yeah. But what surprises me is it took him till the 1990s to admit that, oh yeah, we were just trying to spy on the Russians. Everybody knows that, right?
Sure, but, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, the Berlin Wall had just came down. We were still trying to be friendly with Russia. You know, that's kind of a dick move to be spying on your, even if it was a enemy at the time. You don't really want to admit that kind of stuff. Maybe there's like a big rise in like a request for informations.
Maybe.
At the time.
All those crazy people and their conspiracy theories. Are they crazy? Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
In this case, yes.
All right. So the link has been shared onto Facebook, which will be also tweeting it out for the live recording. Cool. And we are going to take a break, and then we'll be back with news.
Yay.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
For our first story, U.S. District Judge Carlton W. Reeves issued an injunction against Mississippi's law that we previously reported on that specifically would not allow the state to treat certain things as discrimination, specifically to not allow them to discriminate against religious organizations or people or religious people for views that marriage is only between one man and one woman, that sex only belongs in an opposite sex marriage, and that someone's gender identity is the same as their sex at birth and immutable. He ruled that it violated the First and 14th Amendments, and let me quote a little bit from the decision he issued. The state has put its thumb on the scale to favor some religious beliefs over others. Showing such favor tells non-adherents that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community, and adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community. And the Equal Protection Clause is violated by HB 1523's authorization of arbitrary discrimination against lesbian, gay, transgender, and unmarried persons.
All right, rights for the unmarried, I say as a married person.
Yes. But yeah, this ruling came out on the night before this law went into effect. This would have not only protected people on discrimination, but it spelled out any cases of public accommodation, such as housing, making cakes, offering wedding services, providing medical care, performing government duties, running adoption agencies, basically anything you can imagine where somebody would want to discriminate. It was covered.
Mm.
And the injunction, it will stand unless it is overturned and or an appeal is accepted by the circuit court. If they don't, then it becomes permanent. Okay. And along similar lines, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter has announced that within the year, transgender members of the U.S. military will be able to serve openly, and that the military will provide them with the care that they need for their transitions. However, the military... Nice. Yeah, that is really cool. However, the military will only be providing for transition care for those who are already serving. New recruits will be required to have completed any medical portions of their transition, and to, and I quote, to have been stable in their preferred gender for 18 months as certified by their doctor.
Huh. Don't a bunch of people transition without going to a doctor?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need surgery to...
Not necessarily. I was just thinking.
And not only that, we have had, I think, three transgender people on as guests, all of whom transitioned in their late 20s, mid to late 20s. Typically, people join the military in their late teens or early 20s.
Yeah.
So, this is definitely a positive step.
It's the biggest step, honestly.
Yeah.
I talked about this on my page quite a bit on Facebook, and I got a little bit of pushback on this, and you know, I still come back to this being the biggest step right there. After this comes, you know, the inevitable couple lawsuits that will basically take the 18-month thing away, clear this up, and it will basically take care of itself with those couple lawsuits, I figure. But, I mean, this just came out.
Yeah.
And it's just hitting the military right now.
The actual regulations haven't been written yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is reverberating around the military right now. So it's going to take some time, and they need to get training in place. They're going to have mm-hmm. to get like sensitivity training which we do as government employees ourselves, you know, as part of the Navy. There is so much shit to go over, so this is going to take some time, and understandably so. I mean, for the people, the guys and gals that are in the military right now that are like nice, this is going to take some time for it to sink in. And for the ones that are like assholes, it's going to take some time to realize that there's going to be some fucking hopefully hard consequences for fucking with people. So yeah, anyways, this is going to just take time. Just give it a little bit and fucking be the one to stand up and sue and call it good.
Okay. Needing to have completed any medical steps with the transition, that I think makes sense. You don't want somebody to enter the military who is actively undergoing medical care. And I think the 18 month part. Yeah, I agree. That part seems a little bit odd and arbitrary.
That's excessive. Way excessive.
By the time somebody comes out as trans, they've been struggling with it and thinking about it and deciding on it for a lot more than 18 months. And once they make that step, the odds of deciding to switch back would be near zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very near zero. So I think the 18 months is kind of ridiculous, but I do understand the wanting medical parts to be done first. They are going to have to add a new policy for what happens on somebody after this goes into effect who, say, enlists as a man and then decides to transition 5 years later.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, there are, I'm sure, a large handful of trans people that are in the military and unable to come out right now. So, yeah, there's going to have to be some major policy changes.
The estimates are in the thousands, and this policy does specify that those currently serving will have military paid for transition care, and a lot of the policies are to allow them to update their paperwork.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure people just don't want to have their taxes go to transitioning people. So they're going to throw in a couple of roadblocks to try and make it more difficult, but those will be torn down.
Well, with the fact that they're offering it for those already serving, it seems strange and arbitrary to say, okay, we will cover it, but only for the next year. That's weird.
I don't see people joining the military so they can get their transitions paid for either.
No. Next up, two gay men in California filed a class action lawsuit against Spark Networks Inc. in 2013, claiming that ChristianMingle.com, CatholicMingle.com, and AdventistSinglesConnection.com, and also BlackSingles.com, violated California law by discriminating against them over sexual orientation. As part of the settlement that has been agreed to, the plaintiffs will each be paid $9,000. Their lawyers will get nearly $500,000.
Fuck.
The lawyers always win. And the company will update the aforementioned sites, changing the option of either man seeking a woman or woman seeking a man to just man or woman. And they have agreed to eventually update their algorithms to allow for people looking for someone of the same sex. This company also owns jdate.com. But that site wasn't part of the suit, so it will not be affected. And they still won't be doing anything for bisexuals, genderqueer people, or atheists.
Man, we need to like go over and infiltrate that shit and sue.
Payday.
Yeah, as an atheist, I really want to date a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, yeah. No, but I want that option.
Fair enough.
You know, get onto that J-date stuff.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, keep Sue it there. All the way.
Jew curls. Fuck yeah.
You want your kid to have a curly mop of hair, don't you?
Goddamn right.
Well, you need to...
Stereotype span. Let's just dig ourselves into a hole.
I was about to dig deeper. Never mind. moving along, Chris Gaubatz is supposedly a national security consultant And he has gone undercover to agitate with Muslim groups on numerous occasions. And he told a Senate panel on Islamic terrorism chaired by Senator Ted Cruz that Keith Ellison and Andre Carson, both of Congress's Muslims, said that they have associated with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Obviously.
This is centered around Ellison and Carson both attending a 2008 convention of the Islamic Society of North America. Gaubatz claims that this group is a front for the Muslim Brotherhood and also said that the Departments of Homeland Security and Justice had recruitment booths at the event.
So when you say both of Congress's Muslims, should say the only two Muslims in Congress.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so they went to a convention where there were government booths.
Yep.
And they're somehow supporting Islamic terrorism just by being affiliated with this convention?
This convention was being sponsored by the Islamic Society of North America.
Oh, that must be evil.
Which has no connection at this time to the Muslim Brotherhood. There may have been a connection in the past, but if there was, that was severed decades ago.
I love this guy who's actually doing damage by going undercover and agitating said community is now doing more damage by my brain froze.
Yes, he is trying to incite acts of terrorism
on both sides at this point. All right. This man is an evil genius.
He's
a supervillain.
This panel, at least with the direction he took it, sounds a lot to me like McCarthy's un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And Ted Cruz has decided to associate himself with this?
Well, yeah.
What a fucker.
Ted Cruz wants to be ultra Mr. Christian all the time.
So, anyway.
How did he get on the panel on Islamic terrorism?
He's a senator.
And who does he look like?
And
certain junior senator from the 50s.
And Cruz also chairs the committee that is doing this panel.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how he managed to get on it. He has weaseled his way into positions of power in the Senate by being one of the most ridiculous members of the Senate.
Don't insult weasels by comparing them to Ted Cruz. They are small, noble creatures.
Snaked his way in, creeped and crawled his way in, slithered. No, that's too snake-like. Snakes aren't that bad. Slid his way in. Yeah. Anyway, we could go even more disgusting. Anyway, let's not.
Bud.
So anyway, after the break, we will talk about real Muslim extremist groups and their activities.
Ted Cruz for humanpresident.com.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice. On July 1, six gunmen entered a bakery in Bangladesh and set off bombs and opened fire. Their target was an area of Dhaka, Bangladesh, where a lot of international diplomats live.
And apparently stopped for donuts.
Fuck yeah.
And at several points, they asked and were allegedly very polite to other Bengalis and other Muslims. And one gunman complained to a local a Bengali staff member at the bakery about foreigners' skimpy clothes and alcohol drinking, saying that they were impeding the spread of Islam and encouraging locals to do the same. In the end, 18 foreigners, 2 locals, 2 police officers, a chef, and 5 gunmen died.
A chef died, people.
The police,
that's a crime against humanity.
The police failed to resolve the situation. And the final assault was completed by Bangladeshi special ops after they turned it over to the infantry.
Poor Bangladesh. They don't get in the news very often, but I was really hoping that this wouldn't be the reason.
Oh, they're in the news on the show all the time.
Well.
Atheists keep on getting butchered.
Oh.
And now they decided not to just butcher one person at a time, but just kill 28. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the only terrorism story we have right now that isn't connected to the Islamic State. This is just connected to Bangladesh's terrible Islamic extremist groups.
Yay.
So ISIS bombed two sites in Baghdad over the weekend. Both were in shopping districts and both in heavily Shiite neighborhoods. One attack killed at least 215 people.
Jeez.
The other one person. This made it the bloodiest attack since 2003.
It's probably the most bloody and the least bloody all at the same time. 215 in one and one in the other?
Yeah. And these were just people that were going out shopping for the festival at the end of Ramadan. Right now we are in the middle of Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting. And so these are people in the middle of their fast getting blown up for not being the right kind of Muslim.
All we could do is shake our heads because it is beyond my understanding.
Yeah. One of the reports I was looking at about this, ISIS is increasing their attacks because they are actually starting to lose territory for a change. And as the Iraqi National Army has been retaking cities and villages, there have been a number of cases where militias that are working with the army are pulling up on people who are fleeing the villages they're escaping and capturing people. So like there was one where there was like 600 people walking along. They pulled up and said, "Hey, we're here to help. You have nothing to fear." And they separated the women and children from the men and teenage boys. And they sent the women to a government refugee camp. And they took the men and they separated them into two groups. Couldn't find what happened to either group, but I'm guessing one group got forced into the militia and the other one dead. Pretty crazy stuff. And in Turkey, at least 42 people have died and 239 were injured when three men opened fire at the Istanbul Atatürk airport before detonating their suicide vests.
Great.
These were three men from Russia and Central Asia who went through Syria to get into Turkey with all the guns and suicide vests as they crossed the border.
Wow.
Which, how did Turkey miss that? Seriously, that's one of the most guarded borders in the world.
I'm betting, you know, a little bit of money, grease the palms.
Yep.
Get right through.
Maybe some sensitivities. Or not sensitivities, wrong word. Sympathies.
Oh,
possibly,
yes.
Yeah.
Mostly yeah. Money, though. Probably money.
I'm betting money. Or they didn't go through an actual checkpoint.
And then finally, there were three bombings. Oh, and this, I say finally. This isn't all of the terrorist attacks that have had happened in the last week. But there were three bombings on the 4th, so the day before we're recording this, in Saudi Arabia. They all had low death counts compared to the others. You know, the most killed five security guards. But the targets were significant. The Prophet's Mosque in Medina, where Muhammad was buried, the second holiest site in Islam. That one was set off in the parking lot after guards got suspicious. There was the U.S. consulate in Jeddah. They didn't quite make it to the consulate, but they still blew up the car. And a Shiite mosque in Qatif.
Fuck.
Yeah. What's the point of bombing your own prophet remains?
Well,
what's the point of that?
Saudi Arabia is majority Sunni, like 90%+ Sunni. And the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is viewed as a like enemy number one of the Islamic State.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So still the same. Well, actually, and Saudi Arabia isn't even like officially they're not quite Sunni. their, was it Wahhabi?
That sounds right.
Which is a splinter off of Sunni. And so they're closer to the right kind of Muslim than the Shiites are, but they're still the wrong type of Muslim. And realistically, Saudi Arabia has the best claim for who should be the caliph, since they have the largest and most powerful kingdom in the Arab world. So the Islamic State, yeah, doesn't like them. They don't like Turkey because it is a way too liberal and secular of a country and is attacking them.
Right. Okay.
Well, they don't like Iraqi Shiites. There was attacks in Jordan, Lebanon, and a number of other places quite recently. And ISIS has promised that there will be more throughout the rest of Ramadan.
Oh, yay.
So for people who complain that Facebook users don't change their profile pics to the flags in the Middle East, it's because we can't keep up.
Yeah.
One day it's Iraq, one day it's Turkey, one day it's... I mean, it's just messy. It's so messy.
I don't change mine for basically anything.
Oh, well, fair enough.
One thing that seems kind of crazy with all of this is the fact that they're specifically picking Ramadan. This would be like Christians picking Lent, Catholics picking Lent for violence, or Christians picking the weeks leading up to Christmas.
Yeah.
Which one? In December or like May?
January is the other Christmas date.
Oh, I thought it was April.
That'd be the more likely historical date, but Eastern Orthodox is in January and Western is in December.
Okay.
But yeah, the whole thing is, this is crazy. It's absolutely mind-boggling that they are, it's not enough just to slaughter each other, but to even be doing it on their holy month? Why?
It just goes to show how serious they are.
Right. Well, everybody's listening.
Now. Yeah.
And not going to do anything
plus,
about
it. I mean, think of all the... I mean, they're just that pissed about being hungry during the day. Like, fuck it. Ramadan. I'm hungry. I want a fucking burger. I don't know. Something.
Wow.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll be back with something happier. Science!
Science!
And Wally!
And Wally, the cat.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
All right, Lauren, what do you have for us for science?
Well, we have good news, and then we have good news. So, yay! I'm just going to talk about two things. Going to talk about the Montreal Protocol, which some of you probably might not remember, was enacted in 1986 and banned chlorofluorocarbons. Those were popular in aerosols, and because they discovered a hole in the ozone layer. Well, a new paper has been released that suspects that the ozone is showing strong signs of healing itself.
Oh.
Yes, so the hole is closing up, all because of the ban on chlorofluorocarbons.
Yay!
Which is really fun to say. The paper suspects, though, that it probably won't be completely healed until 2050. That's 2050.
Uh-huh.
But it just shows that if everybody works together, something big and devastating can be averted. So I kind of think of it as like a, hooray, now let's fix global warming kind of thing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That'd be nice.
Just a little bit. Okay. Probably not.
But, you know, like I remember growing up seeing stuff from Australia where they're always wearing long sleeves and big hats to try to avoid getting skin cancer because of the hole in the ozone layer that has been centered around the South Pole and Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, by down and large. In their fucking neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of sad because Idaho is actually ranked in the top highest rates of skin cancer because nobody here wears sunscreen or long sleeve shirts or hats. They're just like, whatever.
And the sun is always shining here. Always.
The other thing that happened, this was some people watched this live July 4th in the evening. After a 5-year journey, NASA's Juno spacecraft finally arrived and docked into orbit with Jupiter in the early hours of July 5th after a 1.7 billion mile journey.
Wow.
Billions and billions of miles. Juno is the Greek wife of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
So after Jupiter's been getting away with all of his cloudy storms for a while, Juno's peeking in now, seeing how things are going.
Nice.
That was actually part of the myth, actually, that Jupiter would shroud himself in clouds when he was not being loyal, and Juno was the only god/goddess that could see through the clouds.
Aww.
And her cheating husband.
Yeah.
It did send back, we did get images, including a fantastic view of the four Galilean moons going around Jupiter. You can even see one pass past the Jupiter's shadow as it goes around. It's really, really cool. I would definitely suggest you go check it out. The link that I had shared is www.missionjuno.swri.edu. However, if you Google Juno mission, there's also links to the actual video of the moons, and it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
You know, a couple things I saw on this that were pretty cool is they had to turn off all the instruments except for the cameras for that final little bit of descent into Jupiter's orbit because of the massive amount of radiation that Jupiter puts out. And all these instruments are in a heavily shielded compartment.
Right. So everybody was holding their breath because there was a possibility of this going terribly, terribly wrong mm-hmm. after 5 years, because it is like a shield, that the radiation surrounding Jupiter. They weren't sure if they're going to be able to get through it. But after 35 minutes of burning oil, they managed to get through, and they landed in orbit. Not on Jupiter, of course, but, you know, an orbit of mm-hmm. Jupiter.
An orbit that's going to keep them away from the radiation as much as possible.
Yes.
It is the furthest a solar-powered spacecraft has gone, so there wasn't any oil being burned.
Oh, sorry.
It was nuclear power from a distant ball of fusion.
Yay. So
pretty freaking awesome. And there are three Lego characters on board.
What?
One of Jupiter, one of Juno, and one of Galileo.
That's awesome. Little Galileo Lego. That's awesome. Anyway, that's all I have for today.
Okay, so now it's time for feedback. First off, we've got Mark via YouTube. A longtime patron of yours from the UK, not under my Google account, I finally got around to watching you guys on YouTube. Adds a new dimension. We'll probably still listen mostly on the podcast, as I listen while traveling mostly, but it was really good to put some faces to the names. Good work, all of you. Keep it up.
And that's why YouTube is awesome.
And why I highly recommend listening to the podcast and not watching on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you don't want your furry face to
No. It's not to not see us. That's fine. But we're talking heads. And now, especially now that we're doing the video live, you don't even get the benefit of the editing.
Well, so. No, but you do get to see dogs in the background and kitties and squeaky balls and all the random stuff that's on my rack, like dinosaurs and planets. I like my rack.
I like your rack, too.
Oh, wow. I am on Benadryl, and now you can tell because you walked right into that one. That was good. That was a good... Oh, that was good. I wish I had known it.
I saw it coming a mile away.
And if you're watching on YouTube and you made it all the way through the Shelley Siegel interview, I talked about this at the end, but I decided to cut it from the podcast because, yeah, anyway, we're going to cover it now. Two stars from Miss Ginger 58. This was a iTunes review. Love the regular podcast, but I can't stand this Chick's Pet Project geek thing. I've been listening for some time, and I think it's a 5-star podcast, but the sci-fi geek thing needs to go, please. If they want to do that, then they need to make a separate podcast for it. Once that nonsense stops, I'll change my review to 5 stars.
All right, get back on iTunes and change your review then.
Uh-huh.
Miss Ginger.
Miss Ginger 58, we have posted 2 episodes of Sci-Fi Nomads to gauge feedback before buying the extra domain name, hosting plan, etc. This is something I've already explained several times. I even put out a special 2-minute bit to assure those of you who don't like sci-fi that Atheist Nomads is not changing.
Nope.
Fortunately, the first person to complain emailed us. Didn't go to iTunes. I'm sorry that you had to click skip twice now, but that was a calculated risk I took to try to generate some interest and excitement for a second podcast before releasing it. However, have no fear. No more Sci-Fi Nomads episodes will be posted to this feed. As was the plan, it has its own website and feed now, and you can find the details at scifinomads.com or find Sci-Fi Nomads on iTunes and soon everywhere else that you find podcasts.
Sweet. I made the graphics.
Yes. Nice logo.
Thank you.
And also, painting it as this Chick's Pet Project isn't accurate. First off, it was my idea initially, and Lauren bought in, which was quite nice. But more important, Lauren, how do you feel about being called this chick? And also, feel free to tell us about your actual pet project.
Well, okay, so let's just say that when I first read this review, the tone in my head went, oh, no, you didn't. Because when you refer to somebody as this chick's pet project or this chick, you know, that's an old school kind of insult. My mom worked hard. She worked her butt off to try and get people to stop using that word in that way. If you're hanging out with your girlfriends, you call them chicks, that's one thing. But if you're being derogatory, calling a woman a chick, it just comes off with a nasty taste.
I'm still kind of figuring that Miss Ginger 58 is a female also.
Uh-huh.
Feeling.
Which surprises me that the first time we got any kind of sexist derogatory comments about Lauren came from a woman.
Which is why it's probably not sexist. It's probably just trying to be insulting, which it was taken as such. It worked. As for my pet project, anybody who follows the Facebook feed will notice that the science articles are being posted by Science to Myself Facebook page instead of by Wesley or Dustin or myself. That's because that is me. I like science, and I have a whole side thing doing science. So it's easier just to share that through Atheist Nomads than it is to necessarily write up a thing each time I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my pet project.
And you can find that at sciencemyself.com.
That's right. Or facebook.com/sciencedmyself.
Yeah.
All right.
Because don't wait for somebody else to do it. Do it yourself.
Yep. So you can always email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. You can call us at 541-203-0666. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or just about anywhere else. If you have nice things to say or not, post to iTunes. But if you have, you know, comments like Miss Ginger 58's, please email us.
Or, yeah, just
all right.
Got our attention.
And I need to give a very special shout out. So personal thank you to Ralph Wallen. He's in Uppsala, Sweden. And he gave me a not small, rather large personal donation to help with my laptop cost.
Aww.
So, oh, very nice.
That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. He wasn't able to figure out the PayPal thing, so I just gave him my account and he just, you know, wired me money directly. It's like, holy shit. Thank you very much, Ralph.
Nice.
You know, if anybody wants to kick me a few, it'd be appreciated. And I know my friend Tom is having a couple. He wanted to kick me money too, quite a large chunk as well. So,
ooh, way to put Tom on the spot.
Yeah,
he's waiting for it, Tom. No, joking. I'm joking.
The money's already on the card.
I hung out with Tom and his son. They were really cool people. So, but anyways, yeah, man, any bit helps. So I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. So, that's it for this.
Thanks, Ralph.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ralph. And that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week with an interview. And if you're wanting to watch live, the interview will be recorded on Sunday. If we end up doing that live.
Yeah, which should be, what, noon Pacific, I believe.
You gave the start time in GMT.
Which would be 8 GMT, right?
You that's what you had, yes, which would be...
negative 8 hours back to noon Pacific. Pacific's negative yes. 8.
So noon...
And no, at 1. GMT is always the same time. It's solar noon at Greenwich, which means it's not doesn't follow daylight saving.
Okay. Well, still works.
So it'd be 1 o'clock your time, 1 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Mountain, and 9 p.m. in England.
Okay. Because that Greenwich was thoroughly discussed. Good job, guys.
Yes. Anyway, yes, if you're wanting to watch live, look for the links on Facebook and Twitter, or just go to YouTube for our channel. Yeah, so that's it for now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
All right.
And talk, speak up.
Sorry, I'm really the Benadryl hit.
Well, enjoy it.
I have the noise gate turned up so that your mic doesn't pick up much of me, which means if you aren't speaking loudly, it's not going to pick you up either.
I'm sorry. I'll try and speak louder.
Just like, rawr, get up on it.
Rawr.
Okay.
That's what I do.